You're in with the Ghost of Radio. Welcome back to this, our shared podcast, devoted to, inspired by, wary of, mid-century horror radio. Here we are gathered once more around the cauldron, filled with episodes for us to pull out at random, at our own risk. Let's do it. All righty, this episode is called Shortwave Goodbye, like shortwave radio. Shortwave Goodbye from Nightfall. Oh, our old neighbor to the north, Nightfall. Go to the internet. Type in relicradio.com. They have everything. Archive.org for the Internet Archive. They also have everything. Two infinite universes coexisting. Or open up a non-tracking search engine, and type in Nightfall Radio, single episodes. This will get you directly to where you want to be in the archive.org. So you go, you listen in your own way, mean, and time. We don't listen here together because that would take up a lot of our time, and it's so easy to find these episodes everywhere online. We like to reserve our very special curated time together around the cauldron for discussion, analysis, sense-making, and enjoyment. So that's the plan. We'll come back here, we'll hit some clips, we'll do all those things. Off you go. See you soon. All right, everybody back from listening to Shortwave Goodbye? Well, if so, what did you make of it? Oh, Nightfall. We approach them always with some reluctance. They really rival. It's a toss-up between them and Theater 5 for the shows that had the darkest, ugliest opinion of human nature and humankind. There's one other series that was even worse, but we don't even touch that with a 10-foot cauldron. So these are our two. And Nightfall, here it is again. But this episode is not all bad, is it? Predictable, predictable. Just like last week, we find ourselves thinking of The Twilight Zone and their episode, A Most Unusual Camera, which aired in 1960, long before this episode of Nightfall. As you know, Nightfall is one of our later series. This is from January 9th, 1981. But the premise is a little bit worn out, but they approach it in a way that is enjoyable. But that enjoyment is sadly caught between sexism hating at the beginning and the end. So we have a very mixed bag to jump into here. Let's jump. Let's be careful of the edge. But let's jump in.
In the dream, you are falling, lost in the listening distance as dark locks in. Nightfall. Good evening. Tonight we have an especially dyspeptic program for you. It deals with failures in human communication, and its resolution is more than merely irrevocable. The play by George R. Robertson is called A Short Wave Goodbye.
Girl always liking the host of Nightfall. You know, his talents were wasted. He is so deeply charismatic. Wasting his time on this show? Ugh. All right. Get it? A short wave goodbye? I think we all got it. We open with a character who seems like he is going to be sympathetic. He's the, you know, Walter Mitty, nebbish kind of guy who's married to the nagging woman. I warned you. And the setup, particularly here, reminds us, oh, It's a drinking game. It reminds us of the Twilight Zone and their very famous episode, Time Enough at Last, where the little put-upon man finally is able to be alone with his hobby, away from his horrible wife, because there's been an atomic apocalypse. We think we're going down that pathway of empathizing with the protagonist here. We soon learn that we are not. But it's the usual setup, right? Oh, you're always up here with your damned shortwave radio. That's the hilarious thing that you probably noticed if you've been around this cauldron for a while. Nightfall in the 80s was allowed to say hell and damn it in a way that earlier series were not. And oh, did they love taking advantage of that. You will rarely hear a Nightfall episode where they don't just luxuriate in it. That damned radio. You're up here with that damned hobby. They love it. So let's get into it where Harriet says, I hate you. You love your stupid radio more than me. And the inevitable happens.
What are you doing with that hammer?
I've squandered my life
Harriet,
on you.
Harriet, put that down.
You and your damn shortwave disease.
Don't throw it. Harriet! My radio. Do you know how much blood and sweat went into that? No, you selfish slob. It means nothing to you.
I wish I'd aimed it at your skull.
Harriet, just how dumb do you think I am? Volunteer work at sick kids. You're off to meet your retread man of the world again. Big romantic stuff. Sagging matron beds, overweight widower. Let's see how much damage you've done. Jeez, you bent the new crossover. God knows what else is broken inside. I'll have to start all over. Nothing. No, wait a minute. Maybe if I rotate the crossover.
The leader.
It hurts.
Acceptance of a new project which Mayor Farnham unveiled today.
Farnham.
Expropriation of the lakefront warehouses will
that
begin
like
later
CKTC.
This month, with construction to start early next year.
How can I be getting local news on the shortwave?
June 16th.
The frequency and amplitude are totally incompatible. You can't bend the laws of physics. Something must really be broken. Tuesday? He said Tuesday the 16th. How can that... He said Tuesday. Harriet! Harriet, what day is it? Harriet, wait. What day is today?
Oh, for God's sake, it's Monday.
Thank you. That's what I thought. Monday the 15th.
Harvey, get your head examined.
It is Monday the 15th. I must be hearing things.
I must be hearing things. Damn. What's going on? Well, what's going on is we're right back into A Most Unusual Camera, where he is always hearing tomorrow's news. Whenever he puts on his radio, he hears the news report for tomorrow. And since he didn't watch The Twilight Zone, he doesn't immediately realize that the way to capitalize on this is to listen every day to the results of the horse racing and bet on the horse that's going to win. He is still figuring this out when Philip, his neighbor, comes over. And it's Philip who Harriet is having a fairly undisguised affair with. We didn't capture the first clip where she talks about how it's her volunteer night at Sick Children's Hospital. I must believe this is a joke. It must have been an inside joke to write consistently this episode that there's a place called Sick Children's Hospital. Let's be generous, super damn generous, and say that they are taking a page out of War of the Worlds, where the writers said things like the observatory at Princeton, rather than giving a real name, so that they could get all of the association with a real place without running into any problems with people saying, hey, you can't use our name. There is in Toronto a hospital called the Hospital for Sick Children. And the nickname is Sick Kids. But there is no Sick Children's Hospital, except in our minds now. At any rate, Philip comes over, and this is when Harvey figures it out.
Wait, Yankees are playing. I made $160 last time they were in town.
Einstein.
Not a lot easier than selling electrical supplies.
Theory of relativity. Einstein said time bends back on itself.
Terrific, Harvey. What do you say?
On another plane, this moment in time has already passed. Without the warp, the future is today. The bend Harriet made in my crossover might precisely counterbalance the bend in the time warp.
Hey, Harvey, I'm talking to you.
Leave me alone, Philip. I have to think.
Well, pardon me.
By sheer accident. But why not? The future is today.
Good night, Philip.
That's the second time they had a nice last shouted line. I like in the previous clip when she hollers down after a moment, get your head examined, Harvey. This little, oh yeah, goodbye, Philip, long after he's gone is good. Well, he begins, of course, to win a lot of money through Philip's bookie. And so Philip is complaining to Harriet, like, where's he getting the money? He hasn't even told you. Why, you're his wife. Damn it. He should be telling you so you can tell me so we can rob him. So she goes to Harvey to try to sweet talk him, pretend to make up with him to find out his secret. But given the time she will do this later, after the many times they've each tried to kill each other, you believe that she is somewhat sincere here. If he had responded to her and said, you know what, I want to make things right too, let's make up, she would have done it. Wasn't completely about the money. But they don't want you thinking about any of that. They only want you thinking about a line that is so tortured that you know somebody just loved it. Oh, how the writer loved being able to bring up the concept of a tea ceremony.
Brought you a cup of tea.
Oh?
Earl Grey. Your favorite.
Yeah, thank you, but I don't really...
Well, we've been fighting so much lately, I've said some awful things I didn't mean.
I don't see
how... I'm trying to make up, Harvey.
Why?
Because there are no chocolate cookies to go with the tea.
Harriet, what is this tea ceremony all about?
We're both still pretty young, Harvey. Maybe we could start all over. I could give up Sick Children's Hospital, if you know what I mean. Maybe we could take a trip.
A trip? On master charge?
It's not too late for us, Harvey.
You mean this poor bookkeeper's getting respectable?
Harvey, don't make me feel even worse.
I'm awfully sorry, Harriet.
We've got to think of the future.
Oh, I spend a lot of time thinking about the future, Harriet. Mine and yours.
That son of a bitch!
I wanted to kill him, making me grovel like a...
Maybe that's the only way.
What do you mean?
Would you miss him?
You're not planning to...
It's the only crack I'll ever have at that kind of money.
But, Phil, that's crazy.
He's not going to cheat me out of it.
Phil, I'm still his wife.
And we won't be worth a red cent till you're his widow.
There must be a perfect way, a foolproof way to get rid of you. I can't just take the money and run, Harriet. You'd still be entitled to half. Besides, skipping out wouldn't be playing the game, would it? Maybe I can find something just right for the two of you.
Now, this is a seam that could have worked in a good way. When did Harvey change from this Nebushi guy you might root for into someone who's dedicated to murdering his wife and her lover? When did that happen? Was it just the money? Is it that you can't mess with space and time without it starting to change you and who you are? And alternate futures create alternate versions of you? When did he become so murderous? Philip, we get that he's the usual wife's lover character who doesn't really love her, who just wants money. Okay, so he'd kill Harvey for the money. We get that. But what is up with Harvey? Why does he become so obsessed? Now, we come in this next scene. Harvey's coming home, and he is almost killed by a trap that Philip set for him. And this clip I'm going to play is a little bit long, but it's really a nice stretch. It's a really well-done stretch in the middle of the episode here where they very skillfully go back and forth in the escalation of this animosity, the murder attempts, and they just do it very well, very underwritten. A real pleasure for the mid-century horror heart. So let's enjoy the middle, because you know what's coming at the end.
Should be safe here. Oh my God. It's fused to the cabinet. If I touched that cell, I'd have been fried. But what could short it out like that? No. It's not possible. Unless someone... Of course, Philip. He'd know how. The two of them are after my money. But I did it. I changed the future. I'm still alive. Though you won't be much longer, Harriet. The game for keeps begins in earnest.
And here is the evening news.
Oh, Phil, it was horrible. I was crossing the street and the whole paint store just burst into flames. I could hear people screaming inside.
Are you out of your mind coming here in broad daylight?
I had to tell someone. Living with him since we tried to... I can't stand
it. Okay, take it easy. Why were you going to a paint store of all places?
For Harvey. He insisted. Just so thankful I was late.
What do you mean late? To pick up a can of paint?
He said the owner was expecting me at 4:30 sharp.
Which is when the store went up in flames, right?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. In this grimy little chase, the next move is mine.
That's twice you've missed me. Though the electrical trick got closer than that tripwire with the two steps taken out of the cellar stairs. Come on, let's get professional, Harriet. Still, what if I haven't cheated the Grim Reaper? Death with no date. What if you two should get lucky? It's possible, isn't it? I think I'd like to leave a monument of some kind. Of course, a monument to the future. I should have the number here. Oh, Harriet, I know you'll appreciate this. That is, if you're still around.
Sick Children's Hospital.
I'd like to speak to the administrator, please.
All right, we know that he arranges to leave all of his money to the hospital, so that if Philip and Harriet succeed in killing him, they get nothing. Well, he learns on the radio that the next day there's going to be a horrible boat explosion. And so he books them 3 tickets on that boat excursion. We're rolling through to the end here, and it's sadly confusingly written at the start. The way Philip comes in first talking about it, you think that they actually arranged for Harvey to get run over before they even reach the boat dock. But then he says, oh, it saved us the trouble of having to do it. So I guess he did not. I guess Harvey really just died crossing the street without looking, and he got hit by a car, which is actually a pretty wonderful plot twist here. When you're so intent on, you know, the murder plot on this side and on that side, and oh, what's going to happen now? How will he avoid being on the boat with them? All of that derailed by the rest of the world that exists. You know, you're not the only 3 people on Earth. And if you are too intent on your plotting to look before you cross the street, that's how you might die. And the ending is pretty well done in that it's a 6 of one, half a dozen of the other kind of thing. It's marred by its deep sexism, and I have edited out the sexist slur that Philip uses at the end. But it's nice, the full circle they draw, that once again, Harriet is left with a man who's supposed to be her love interest, who can only pay attention to the radio. Philip is just going to keep listening to the radio over and over again, exactly like Harvey did. She is back at square one, and this makes her go insane. She's been teetering on the brink of it because she doesn't have the stomach or the mentality for all of the scheming and the near misses she's had at the paint store, etc. She goes insane. And they are on 2 parallel tracks after she really destroys the radio, where Philip is yelling at her and uses the slur, but she doesn't even hear him. She has gone mad, keeps saying, he stole my life, he stole my life. It is a very bleak ending. That's what Nightfall does. So we're going to endure the sexism, but not all of it. And we're going to roll through to this ending.
All right, Harvey, that's the way you want it. We'll go on your little cruise. But you won't be coming back. I still can't believe it.
It's all over but the shouting.
He's gone, Phil. He's actually dead.
That's damn nice of him, too, saving us the trouble.
Only we get our hands on the money.
Oh, don't worry, it has to turn up.
What a great feeling. No more worries.
I'm just afraid I'll never find out his secret.
Seems he took it with him.
But he must have been tapped into the future, huh?
If he had been, he wouldn't have run in front of that car. Oh, it was horrible.
Yeah, he wouldn't have been so eager to go on that boat cruise.
Hey, hold it. Why was he so anxious for me to go along on a boat that was going to blow up?
Oh, don't talk about it.
And what about the paint store fire?
Stop it. Nobody can see into the future.
You saw his stock portfolio up in the attic. He bought into everything at exactly the right time.
And now it's all mine. After all these years, the mole finally paid off.
All ours, you mean, huh?
Oh, yeah. You want a sandwich?
No, I want to hear what's happening in this very rich world of ours.
No reason for the blast has been given, and the names of the dead are
Shut
being
that
withheld
thing off.
Pending notification.
Radios
of
remind me of Harvey.
Tragedy of Radio. A different sort. Tragedy with a ray of hope occurred last night in suburban Brentwood when Harvey John Beasley was struck and killed by a
car. Well, at least he made the news
in front of his house. This morning, Donald Anderson, administrator of Sick Children's Hospital, announced that Mr. Beasley had bequeathed his entire estate of $348,000 to equip a new operating room in what will be now known as the Harvey Beasley Wing.
What? That
dirty, black, miserable mole.
$348,000.
It's all gone. He left me nothing. Nothing. You're all I've got.
Now, wait a second, Harriet.
Oh, yes, you did leave me something, Harvey. Up in your attic.
Harriet, what are you...
The radio. Harriet, wait.
Damn shortwave disease.
Wait, Harriet. The radio's got to be the answer.
Let go of me.
Give me that hammer.
Get away from me.
She's going crazy.
Let me have that radio.
Oh,
that's Harvey's cancer, that short wave.
Harriet,
that radio warped him.
So give the United Way.
Get the disease out of you, Harvey.
And now, here are the news for Thursday, September 20th.
Did you hear that?
I'll never hear this bloody radio again. Future, he gave away my future.
That announcer. He said Thursday, the 20th. That's tomorrow.
Harvey's disease robbed me of my future.
That was it?
There's no future.
That was future. It, you fat s***.
No future.
God's sake, lying future. On the floor. No. Look at it, in pieces.
He stole my future. There's no future.
He stole my future. It's well done. That is Shortwave Goodbye from Nightfall. Are we cutting it a little bit of extra slack because we just thought it would be even worse because it's from Nightfall? Or is it objectively fairly good? I think it's objectively fairly good. They keep the overacting really down to a minimum, especially after the first third, especially after Harvey and Philip and on and off, Harriet all become so murderous. They really focus in a good way. Are we tired? Yes, of course we're tired after 50 years. Of this constant plot. The woman with the wealthy husband, whom she, of course, hates, has a lover who obviously doesn't love her, but she loves him. And so when the lover plots to kill the husband, she goes along. But then as soon as they achieve their end, the lover turns on her. 100 million times. And you never get the feeling that the writer wanted to tell that story because they felt something for the woman, who constantly feels she has to tie her own happiness, her future, to being with a man. No, it's never that way. It's just a handy plot device, like evil foreigners or weird foreigners or monster foreigners. Women are the eternal foreigner. Oh, not just in this genre, but in them all. All right, let's get our outro. No matter how we feel about what we've heard, you cannot resist this host. Are we falling for the same thing that Harriet did? Why is it that even though we don't really love what he brings, we just can't call it quits with this guy?
You have just heard A Shortwave Goodbye by George R. Robertson. Featured tonight were Arch McDonald as Harvey, Maxine Miller as Harriet, and Bud Knapp as Philip, with John Stocker as the newscaster, and Elva Mae Hoover played the receptionists. Our recording engineers are Ray Falsick and John Jessup, with sound effects by Bill Robinson. Our story editor is Earl Toppings, with the production assistance of Mina Callahan. Nightfall is produced and directed for CBC Radio by Bill Howell. And now, here's a final word from your host.
Hello again. Next week's Nightfall features a new adaptation of a story that has always had a special place in my heart.
Whenever his pale blue eye fell on me, my blood ran cold. And so by degrees, very gradually, I made up my mind to take the life of the old man and thus rid myself of the eye forever. It was an evil eye, but Weatherby was very kind to me. No one had been this kind. It was too much to bear. You fancy me mad. Madmen know nothing. But you should have seen how wisely I proceeded, with what caution, with what foresight, with what dissimulation I went to work.
Edgar Allan Poe's The Telltale Heart, adapted for radio by Len Peterson and starring Richard Monette. Next week on Nightfall. Until then, careful of the edge.
Oh, we don't get the 80s outro, that synth-heavy da-doom, da-doom, da-doom outro that Nightfall so often had. The Telltale Heart, not a story that has a special place in my heart. He says that without even seeming to note that, well, at any rate, I could almost be convinced to tune in by that host, but not quite. That's it for us, a Nightfall for this week, and who knows for how long a time to come. If only you had a radio that would tell you what was happening next week, right? Ah, if only you knew next week you would hear this sound and you would know what was coming out of there so you could be prepared. But that is not vouchsafed to any of us. Nobody in Madison, Athens, Bangkok, or Philadelphia gets to know that. Still, I have the feeling we will be tying our future happiness to this cauldron once again, and that we'll be joining together to see what we're dealt. So, in the meantime, until that happy hour, go your way this week. Be safe, be happy, and I'll see you soon.
Don't call me Harvey, call me God.